Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm chatting with Doc Jones, private investor and becoming a regular guest on the show. We mostly focus on the metals sector. We've talked about a couple of the stocks that Doc Jones likes, but where we're going to start today is in the crypto space, because Doc, you and I have chatted a few times about the cryptos, and they're on the radar for everyone right now because of this correction that they're going through. It seems like Elon Musk can sure move around the crypto space, but now it's news out of China and potential restrictions coming in to Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies that is pushing Bitcoin down to now around the $40,000 level. Doc Jones, what's your assessment of cryptos and this correction that I think a lot of people were expecting, but it's definitely here now?
Hi, Corey. Thanks for having me back. Yeah, you know, I think this illustrates why cryptos are not currencies. The volatility alone. How could someone possibly accept this as a form of payment when the amount of time it would take to process the transaction, like with Bitcoin, if it's a half hour for them to process the transaction and then for you to turn around and convert it into fiat, or so that you can actually use it within that time frame, you could lose 20-30% of its value. So Elon Musk, that's kind of funny, because he tried to take the high road and say, well, it's not exactly green, so we're not going to accept it anymore. But the real fact of the matter is, the reason why they're not accepting it is because the lag time of processing the transaction. They sell a car and accept for whatever, $60,000, and they accept a Bitcoin. And within the time of accepting it and processing, that Bitcoin drops $10,000 in value. They will take a loss on that car, as well as their treasury. They bloated their treasury with Bitcoin, which is going to lead to a very interesting quarter for them. So I've always said that you have to look at things in a macro sense. The greatest power that governments have over their citizens is control of the currency and the money supply, and they will not give up that most powerful thing that they have. And if you look around the world, we have Turkey banning crypto payments. India threatens to ban. Nigeria will not accept crypto exchanges in their country. Bolivia, the ban continues. Ecuador follows Bolivia in banning crypto. Algeria does not support internet money. South Korea, not interested in privacy coins. Qatar prohibits banks from dealing with crypto. Egypt goes the route of using the Islamic law, saying that cryptocurrencies are not allowed. Bangladesh says it won't support crypto. These are all examples, and it's these smaller countries that'll do it first. And then once we get a digital dollar from the United States, they'll follow suit as well. And it's a lot easier when you're dealing with just digital fiat to ensure they can't be converted into crypto. You could put it right in the programming, because everything's digital, that you can't accept any type of cryptocurrency in exchange for government sponsored digital fiat. As well, you can see the narrative has changed considerably, where in Washington, they were circulating a report about how just Bitcoin mining globally consumes more power than the country of Argentina. And where's that power coming from, and how does that affect the environment? So now they've painted that these unregulated cryptocurrencies are now an environmental threat. And in this day and age where ESG is so important in the environment, It's a real change. Yeah, so it's very fascinating to see how this is all unwinding.
So, Doc, I'm with you in the sense that, look, the biggest risk to cryptocurrencies here is government regulation, right? If the governments straight up limit or restrict any sort of transactions in those cryptos, that is a big hit on the cryptos. But even until that point, I realize that there's this debate of, is crypto cash? Is crypto a safe haven investment? I look at it as simply a speculative market that, quite frankly, can run based on whatever, if people are interested in it. Not much like a lot of other markets, but how can you balance out, yes, the fact that there can be these very negative aspects, but look, it's still a trading market. And if there's interest, if there's attention, clearly cryptos can run aggressively higher and also correct, but still run aggressively higher.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. And look, I don't invest in cryptocurrencies. People who want to, that's up to them. I'm just saying that people should understand what it is. You know, if people want to speculate on something,
that's the worst thing to do, Doc Jones. Sometimes is truly understand what it is. That's not what
understand what it is is that there is, you know, when you do your modeling of risk reward, and also understand that cryptos, their value only comes from their ability to be converted into fiat, right? If you take away that part of the equation, being converted to fiat, they cease to have any value, right? You know, then you might as well be dealing with tulip bulbs, right? It's not something I do. Look, my strengths are dealing with investments that I can research and model an intrinsic value to, and a cash flow multiple or a net present value, and then compare that to where the stock is trading. You know, that's where my strength is. There's lots of people who've made millions and millions of dollars off of crypto, and I think that's great. Good for them. I certainly don't disparage them for it. I think a person should stick to what they understand when they're investing, and I stick to resources. So, it's not the first time that you've seen this kind of thing, and they don't even have to ban it. They can legislate it, make it completely unattractive by raising taxes on it. So, you know, there's a lot more risk to the downside at this point. With cryptocurrencies, especially now that, you know, China's rolled out their digital currency. The United States will be doing that. And they're not going to allow competition because these speculative assets are non-productive. They reduce the money supply and take money out of circulation. They get locked into this digital speculative asset, and it's non-productive. It becomes and when too much capital is being sucked into non-productive assets, the government steps in because it means they have to create more and more stimulus because they need the money circulating. The money gets locked up somewhere, then they won't allow it. And that's the same throughout history.
So how does this relate to, say, the gold market then? Do you think, first and foremost, that there are investors that are distracted by cryptos, that is keeping money out of the gold market? And to your point that it's not a productive use of capital or of money to have it in something like cryptos, haven't we heard that argument against gold as well?
Yeah, yeah, but gold is a tier one asset, you know, under Basel III, and central banks are accumulating gold versus accumulating fiat foreign reserves. And the whole monetary system of the world comes back to gold as long as the currency is converted into gold at some point. When you remove a currency's ability to be converted into gold where no one will accept that currency for gold, then that's where you get hyperinflation and you get that's when it's game over for that country. That's where you get default and a whole restructuring of their monetary system. And that's been the same throughout history. You know, when you look at the Weimar Republic, and at some point you could not convert your marks into gold, right? No one would take them because they were depreciating so quickly that you couldn't do it. They would take, at that time, they would take U.S. dollars because the U.S. dollar was backed by gold before they removed it from the gold standard. So they, you know, that's, yeah, yeah. But gold will always be around. It will always be an important part of everyone's portfolio, I think, because in the end, that's where it all comes back to. That's my belief anyways. And throughout time history, you know, gold is the only monetary it's not a currency, it's the only money that has maintained its purchasing power throughout millennia, right? So you know, the old adage of an ounce of gold buys a man a really good suit was the same thing 100 years ago.
Just have a lot other or more markets, right, for people to speculate in. Let's talk about the precious metals then, and more of the balance between gold and base metals. Because, look, there's been some analysts that say the base metals, especially down in the stocks, aren't really going to start running unless there's a run in the gold market, and that can bring in more investors. How are you viewing the balance and the potential in both gold and base metals right now?
I think it depends on what your view is on the macro economy and where we're heading. If you believe that we're going to head into a recession and economic hardship globally, then I think gold will outperform base metals. But if you believe that we're heading into a period of rapid growth in GDP and monetary stimulus and inflation, coupled with the supply deficits in various industrial commodities like copper and zinc, lumber, but that lumber, the real problem there isn't the actual getting the trees, it's at the mills. The mills are not producing as much wood because there's a real arbitrage between the price that they pay for the raw timber, and then after they refine it, it's the refined timber that has that's in scarce supply. But I digress there. So my personal view is that we're heading into more of a an economic expansion with the amount of monetary stimulus that's been put into the system globally and the reset of the business cycle globally into expansion, that base metals will outperform gold. Gold will still do well, but in comparison to its base metal peers, I think it will underperform. That's kind of the tack that I'm taking. Because there's also, with gold is very susceptible to interest rates as far as competition. And right now we have an artificially low employment rate in the United States because people are getting paid to stay home. They're making more money staying home and doing that. But as soon as that ends, they will be forced into the labor market. Right now, unemployment is a little over 9 million people, and there's about 7 or 8 million jobs that need to be filled. So very quickly, when they remove that extra bump to their unemployment checks, that they will enter the workforce, and in the unemployment rate will drop drastically and therefore force the hand of the Fed, because their mandate had changed from keeping inflation stable at 2% to getting back to full employment. So when full employment is fulfilled, the market will force them to raise rates then. The market will say, you've fulfilled your mandate. It's time to raise interest rates, which puts the U.S. at a very, very interesting quandary as to what to do with monetary policy going forward, because after the next 2-3 years of vast expansion globally, the business cycle is the business cycle. We're going to get a recession at some point, at which time the Fed does need at least 300 basis points to cut in rates to stimulate the economy, pulling it out of a recession. If it doesn't have that, then we get a prolonged, protracted recession. It could lead to a depression, because they've learned that negative rates don't have the effect of stimulating the economy to the same degree that cutting from 3% to 0% or 4% to 1%. They need that 300 basis points, as well as they start doing all the other stimulus programs as well. And if you look at it, commodities in general, that they're all up, but gold has had the least amount of traction. Copper has been the best performing, with the exception of timber, but as far as the base metals, iron ore, copper, zinc is starting to outperform. I do hold my gold investments. I have a select few that I've been adding to periodically, but the majority of my portfolio now is focused and has been in the base metals, with ones that do have exposure to gold and silver and their byproduct credits. The one of which that I think most people know me for is Amerita Resources, which I've done a lot of due diligence on and published reports on them. So, yeah, I think that's where we're at.
Okay. Well, you know what, Doc Jones, we're going to wrap it up here, okay? Because there's a lot to take in there, and it does sound like, again, we're going to be wondering and focusing on what Fed policy is going to be, but you do bring up an interesting point in terms of the unemployment rate and people staying home because they're still getting paid. But that, you know, that could change very quickly. Doc Jones, again, great having you on the show. I always appreciate your insights. Please keep sending us any of your articles. Happy to post those and look forward to having you back on shortly. So, Doc Jones, have a great rest of your week.
Yeah, you too, Corey. Thank you very much. Enjoy the long weekend.